So we've been talking about that all winter and since early fall. Today, I've had this message done for over a month, but I just feel it's going to be a little different than what I had planned. Because I'd like to teach. I'm not so sure I'm going to teach so much as just share and preach. I still believe the Lord heals, don't you? I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the power of Jesus the reality in our lives. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father, but I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the counselor. And we've been studying that for months. But we haven't just been studying the Holy Spirit. We've been experiencing the Holy Spirit. All types of ways. The gifts are in operation. I got a testimony text to me about a decades-long family restoration that the family had been praying for between a mother and a son. And they come up to the altar when we were talking about the gift of miracles a few weeks ago and stood in for this grandmother who was the mother of this son who's been separated for years. And guess what? The son came home. They love each other again. And they text me from Illinois saying, God worked this is our miracle, Christmas miracle. The Lord still works miracles, and the Lord still heals, and we're going to believe that you will receive a healing today, and then we'll get started next year. How about that? I have a lot planned for next year, and so we may have to add some seats. It looks like we're going to have to add seats as we go into the new year, and that's a good thing because we want as many people as possible to experience the touch of Jesus Christ. Which again, and I'm going to say that a lot today, but you know that how we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Makes everything God a reality. So if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, He's here to make Himself real to you and reveal Himself to you. But not just to do that, He wants to touch your life. Have you ever experienced the tangible love of Jesus? I mean, we know all the scriptures, but those moments where the Holy Spirit just maybe comes during your devotion or church or driving down the road, and all of a sudden you feel to some degree overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. He's here today. So many thoughts in my mind. Most of you know the story about they call him the demoniac of the Gerasenes. Depending on which translation you read, the Gadarene demoniac. You can find it in Mark chapter 5 and several other places in the gospel. But I'm just going to tell the story a little bit and comment on that a little bit as we move on. And this was a man, and I know he had friends because the text said he had friends, but you know he had family. You know he had mom. He probably had some brothers. He probably, now I do say probably on this one, I mean, he probably had a wife and kids. Who knows? But here is a man who is so unhealthy mentally, physically, spiritually, in every way, they had to run him out of town. And you know where they took him? They took him to the graveyard outside of town. And for a season, and you can read about all this, they shackled him. One instance, not the Mark instance, said that he was naked even. But they shackled him, and he said he was so messed up that he couldn't even be held in chains. Now, can you imagine that? I got a pretty good idea. I could shackle every one of you in this building. Don't worry, not going to. And I don't think one of you could get out unless you had a key. He was demonically oppressed, but not just demonically oppressed. He was demonically possessed, We find as we read the story, it wasn't just one, it was legion, it was a bunch of demons. Anybody remember the story as I'm unpacking it? This man who was sick mentally, physically, and emotionally is without hope. He's living naked and dirty and out of his mind in the graveyard outside of town because he's so out of control, he can't function in society. He's the worst of the worst and the least of the least and the sickest of the sickest. And the hopeless are the most hopeless until Jesus shows up. And the demons wanted nothing to do with Jesus. You remember that? You remember what happened? They said, cast us into those pigs. So Jesus cast the demons out of this sick man into several hundred pigs, and the pigs ran off into the water and drowned. I mean, that farmer took a bad hit that day. That's another story and another thought. But what happened, to make a long story short, is this man was supernaturally and completely healed by the power of God. He was in his right mind. He was healthy. He was changed. He was transformed. And Jesus is going to get in the boat and take off. And that man that's been, I don't know how many years he'd been out there. I don't know how long he'd been sick. I don't know how long he'd been rejected. I don't know how long he had to feel abandoned. I don't know how long he had to feel wounded, not only on the outside, but in his heart. I don't know how long he was grieving over the loss of family and friends. I don't even know at this point if he realized it. But when Jesus touched him, Jesus made him whole inside and out. And this man would be different and healthy forever. For some of you, if you get healed today, hold on to the healing. Tomorrow the enemy may say, are you sure you got healed? Say, yeah, in Jesus' name, I sure did. And so, obviously, he wants to get in the boat and go with Jesus. I don't blame him, do you? You remember what Jesus told him? No, I want you to go back to town. I want you to go back to town and let others know how much the Lord has done for you. So I thought, and this is just what I'm getting ready to share, is just a thought, because we can't read about it. I would like to hear the story about when he went back to town. I know one thing. When I got radically saved and I had my first time with my fraternity brothers, when I went back to town, they were shocked. I'd been the chugging champion up to that day. Maybe that's too much information. And now I don't even sip. I went back to town and they were shocked. I went back to town and I didn't laugh at their dirty jokes anymore because I didn't think they were funny anymore. Something changed. Something changed. You know what changed? Jesus Christ touched me and I was different. If you've been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has made Jesus a reality in your life, you will be different. You won't be perfect, but you will be different. You'll never be the same. Some of you this morning thought that you were going to walk in here and walk out. You did walk in here, but you're going to walk out of here different. When you go back to town, people are going to know you've been with Jesus. So this guy goes back to town. I thought this was going to be a short message. It's getting longer by the minute. It's so important for me to stay behind my notes. Y'all should have figured that out by now. That I can talk to you forever. Well, Pastor Christian will buy you lunch, and we'll just talk right through lunch. He's single, he's got plenty of money, he's a godly young man, he can afford lunch, and he's available. Oh. Pastor, get back to the message. I couldn't resist. What was it like when he went home? When he walked into town, everybody walked in those days. There might have been a donkey or two. I mean, man, people were probably hiding. Because this guy was off his rocker. And I just imagine him going home. He used to have a home. And in my imagination, let's just pretend at least he had a wife and kids. I don't know, but let's just pretend. But you'll catch one. Can you imagine this guy who's been in his condition comes home? Hadn't anybody seen him? Now, they had heard about it a little bit because a few people come out to the graveyard. Somehow they got the message. But now he goes back home, and he's headed to the house. If you had been in his shape and completely healed and whole, who would be the first people you'd want to talk to, the closest family members in your life? If for some reason I had to walk away from Darla and my kids, they'd be the first ones I wanted to see. And I imagine him walking down the street, and somehow the children looked out the window and they run and said, "Mom, Mom, it's Dad. It's Dad. Dad's back in town." And I can imagine Mom said, get over in the corner of the room. Let's lock the door." They didn't know. And let's pretend like his wife's name and the mom's name's Mary. Let's just use Mary. And he says, "Mary, Mary, I'm home." But you look behind that door and those walls and the kids are cowering in the corner. And Mary knows if he lets him in, it's going to be bad, just like it was. And he does it. He persists. He knocks on the door. And the kids, they pull the curtain back and they said, "Mom, he looks a lot different than when he left. He's clean. He's dressed. But Mom, he looks a lot different. Maybe we should let him in." Said, "No, you know what it was like the last time he was here, and we had to send him out. They've chained him. He's out of his mind. But no, Mom, he looks a little bit different." So she fearfully opens it. I think I would have been about that way. For some of y'all, this morning, the miracle is right here, right now. But you are going to have to open the door to the touch of God in your life. It's almost like you can hear people think sometimes. The reason I preach with the lights on so I can see you. It seems like the crowd's with me today. Okay, let him in. Don't be afraid, children. Don't be afraid, Mary. I was with Jesus today, and he's touched me, and I'm changed, and I'm brand new. Don't be afraid. He comes in, and they sit down in the living room, and begin to talk with his children, and his children begin to talk with him, and there's something working, because every child loves their father no matter what's happened to him, right, or where he's been, and he may even be gone. And they're talking, and they're interacting, and there's a restoration taking place. And they decide, Mary gets comfortable and said, "Well, let's sit down and have dinner." And she cooks dinner, and they sit down, and they have family dinner for the first time in forever. And Daddy is whole. And for the first time in years, Dad tucks the children in bed and says a blessing over them and walks out into the living room. And obviously, Mary's still uncomfortable. She sees that he's different, but she's uncomfortable. And he puts his arms on his wife's shoulders. And she said, "Thank God, Mary, you don't have to worry. I've been with Jesus, and I've put my old life behind me." That's a healing. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, we've read it 10 times in 3 months as we finish with the spiritual gifts. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit still heals. We're going to talk about the gifts of healing, and I'm going to run pretty quick. Again, I'm just going to maybe go a little light on teaching, and because I want to get to this altar and just let the Holy Spirit heal this morning. Notice it's not a gift of healing, it's gifts of healing. It's the only one of the gifts that's plural. And you, for some of you Bible students, go look that up later. I thought that was pretty interesting. But what is it? It's a supernatural, miraculous healing of sickness and disease. No doctors, no meds. Now listen, we still believe in doctors. They had Luke was a doctor. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Doctors are good. Don't quit going to the doctors. There's some people out there on the fringes that believe in healing, but they don't believe in going to doctors at all. Well, I do believe in going to doctors. What I'd like you to do today is if you get your healing touch and you sense that you're healed and you know that you're healed, it may be joints, ailments, heart, whatever it is, go to the doctor and get it confirmed. He'll say, "What happened to you?" "Well, I got healed." He goes, "Well, I sure do, because your tests are clear." How about that one? Because even in healing, sometimes you want to test it. Is that a principle that we've learned this whole time, isn't it? You've got to receive it. When you come up here this morning to get anointed with oil, you got to come with faith and a desire, or you just hope somebody else has faith, because sometimes it's somebody else's faith. That old demoniac didn't have any faith, but Jesus was enough. Jesus is still enough this morning. You may be a little skeptical or so bound up you don't have any faith. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to touch you anyway. Hallelujah. How do y'all like my new preaching stance? Just having fun. Gifts of healing. And even when the doctors do what they can do, there's still only one healer. Most doctors will tell you that, even the ones that don't know Christ. He heals gifts of healing. He heals in many different ways in many different situations, all kinds of ways. It can be instant. It can be a gradual healing. It can operate in all these areas I mentioned. Healing can flow because of my faith. Healing can flow through somebody else that has faith. Holy Spirit doesn't heal everybody for some reason. Now, he could show up this morning and heal everybody. And then next week we could have that same healing service. He might only heal one. Why is that? You want to know why? You want to know why? I don't know. But I do know he heals. I know Jesus healed a bunch of them and walked by a bunch of them. I don't know why he walked by some and healed others. I know he went into some towns, and you can read he healed everybody in town that day. And the next day he'd go to town, didn't heal anybody. And in one town he'd go and said, "Well, because of their little bit of faith, it's even hindered you, Jesus." But I do know that he heals, and I do know that there are gifts of healing, and I do know that God wants you to operate. So a lot of you have been operating in prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, these different things. Some of you have experienced miracles, and please email me or on Slack or text me some of your miracles. I want to know about your healings all week. Text me. If you don't have my cell phone number, I'll give you my cell phone number. I want to know what God's doing. Gifts of healing. But I know God, if you can prophesy as the Spirit wills, you can heal. Now, please, it's Him, but you get what I'm saying. It's the Holy Spirit in you. We can. When is the last time, I asked this a few weeks ago about praying for miracles, when is the last time you prayed for somebody's healing? Well, how do I do it, Pastor? Well, I need an hour or so, and I could give you a little bit better instruction on how to do that, but it could just start with somebody says they're sick, and you say, well, do you mind if I pray for you? I believe God for healing, and most of the time, 999 times out of 1,000, they'll say, yes, please pray for me. Put your hand on their shoulder and say, in Jesus' name, heal so-and-so. Can you do that? That's your first training course right there. But you have to do it. Because the Holy Spirit that reveals the love of Jesus in your life, and so many of you nodded your head and said you've experienced that loving touch, right? Let me see your hand. Many of you this last few months have been filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, right? The same God that fills and the same God that even makes salvation a reality, you ask Christ to come into your heart, you repent, you ask Him to come into your heart. It's the power of the Spirit that changes your heart and you're born again. John chapter 3, has many people here this morning experienced that? Let me see your hands real quick all over the place. Well, the same Holy Spirit wants to flow through you for healing. But He can't do it if you won't do it. Well, what if God doesn't heal him? That's on him. Jesus determined who He healed and who He didn't. The Holy Spirit will determine who He healed. And you'll never be able to, well, it'll make God look bad. God's not going to look bad. Jesus is a healer. Holy Spirit is a healer. We need to start praying prayers for people just in Jesus' name. Heal. Heal. Heal in Jesus' name. John is sick. John's got cancer. God, I'm believing in the name of Jesus that you will touch him and make him whole in the name of Jesus. And I could say a longer prayer, but it starts somewhere. And you go home and you get a call 3 days later. John's feeling better. He said, I go for my checkup next week. He goes for the checkup next week and the cancer's gone. And John calls you up and said, the cancer's gone. I can't believe it. I've been there. So we want to be a church that's operating in the spiritual gifts. Can I get an amen on that? At the altar call, and Grace made these up for us, and we're just going to put them on the stage. Because pray healing scripture over yourself and over others. And I don't know how many she put together. One for every day of the month is a healing scripture from the Old Testament and New. Thanks for doing that for us, Grace. I pray one that I'm going to read here in a minute on a regular basis. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Speaking of Christ. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains. 53, 4 through 5. I'll read it. It's a miracle. Actually, I was thinking I need a healing in my memory. I've forgotten that scripture. Touch, Lord. Oh, much better. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Speaking of Christ, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And we love these verses I could read. But He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was our chastisement, and that brought us peace. And with His stripes, some translations say wounds, and with His stripes we are healed. Read that with me. And with His stripes we are healed. Now I want you to say, I. And with His stripes, I am healed. Many times when I'm praying for people, I'll say, and let's say Houston was ailing, I'd say, and by Jesus' stripes, Houston is healed using the Word of God. Can I just use the Word of God when you pray? Find scripture, especially in healing. Use the Word of God. Many of you that I'll pray for this morning, and we're going to call the staff up and whoever. And many times you will hear me say, by your stripes, grace is healed. We'll put your name in place of the scripture. See, Paul and the church and the disciples, and here's where I'll hit it quick. I had one, two, three, four or five verses. Everywhere the church went, read the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts. Everywhere the church went, part of their ministry was a healing ministry. And you find it over and over and over and over again. Instead of going there today for the sake of time, look it up yourself. But I think most of y'all know that's true. And it was many times when they were operating in the gift of healing, it was transformative, not only for the person that was healed, but the whole community. Listen, you pray for somebody at the office who has a bad ailment, and Jesus shows, well, I don't pray for unbelievers. Well, why not? Jesus did and does. Well, they are living a life of sin. They don't deserve to be healed. I didn't deserve to be healed, saved, delivered, anything. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. Look to your neighbor and said, he's talking to us. The minute you think you've earned the right, be careful. Start praying for unbelievers. Pray for their healing. That guy at work gets healed and everybody in the office finds out about it. You might have a little mini revival break out. Look, because you can argue scripture with them all day, and I'm all for that. Share the word, talk the word, share the truth in love. Because when you experience the love of Jesus, he never compromises his truth. But you get somebody healed in your circle. It may be the barber. I don't know if many people do barbers anymore. Your hairstylist. You know, I've got a hairstylist. It's called Darla's Boutique. Buzzers. Perfect. Did y'all notice? I've taken a little time out. About 4 weeks ago, I let my hair get a little too long. Did some of y'all notice it was about that long? I'm serious. I wake up in the morning, it was messed up. Couldn't stand it. Get the buzzers out. I preached with it that long. I don't even think I preached as well that day because I was worried about my hair. Went home and said, honey, we got to get take care of this. I know some of you young people don't believe it. Best haircut you've ever had. Get up in the morning. Where was I? Everywhere the church went, they were operating in the gift of healing. You can too. Not because we're anybody. We just love Jesus. He filled us with the Spirit. He keeps us humble when we're not. He'll use you. He's no respecter of persons. It's not for a few pastors. It's not for a healing evangelist. Although there are some healing evangelists and people in the body of Christ that operate in this gift more often than others, which is true of some of the other gifts. But all the gifts are available as the Spirit wills. But I'm asking you, you say, well, I've only been saved 3 months, probably just the perfect time. You say, well, there's more I need to know. Yeah, we're going to grow you as disciples because one of the key components of our vision is one of the key components of the Great Commission, and that's to make disciples, absolutely. But you can give your heart to Christ today and have never read the Bible, and we want you to start reading it right away, and God can still use you in the gift of healing if you get filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a young lady in our church a few weeks ago that rededicated her life to Christ, and so that's the greatest healing of all, amen? And then the same day received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, all in boom, boom, bam, boom. I like that. And young lady, you could pray for people to get healed and some of them will get healed. You should believe that all of them will and leave the rest to Christ. My point is, look to your neighbor and say, what have we been waiting on? When is the last time you prayed for somebody's healing. You were right there with them. You put your hand on their shoulder or just stood there. If you had a little oil, you popped it on their head. If you had it, Jesus heals without oil. It works with oil too. You say, well, I don't have any of that fancy smelling sauce. You know, and I like the smelly stuff, but he uses just plain old olive oil. There's been times we couldn't find any olive. Wesson, we've seen God heal so many people with Wesson. The scripture said, call the elders and bring oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's James, right? Just follow the biblical principles. Do it! The gifts aren't just to be an operation for us. They're for those that we're with every week. Be sensitive to the Spirit so that the love of Jesus Christ can touch this world we live in. You got a word of knowledge for them, they're going to know there's a God in heaven. You got a prophetic word, and don't throw the thus saith the Lord thing on the unbeliever. Just tell them, you know it's a prophecy. They don't need to know it's a prophecy. You know it's God. They'll know it's God. If they're sick, pray for them. If they need a miracle, pray for a miracle. But dear God, church, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, if you've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit wants to move through you everywhere you go. They healed everywhere they went. Well, what about the handkerchief thing? It's a handkerchief with oil on it. It's a point of faith. We anointed some handkerchiefs one time in a church service and for two or three people that were having migraines, and the unbelieving husbands didn't even know it, but they just knew they were having migraines, medical problems. We got a word from the Spirit, not just go handkerchief healing. But we felt the Lord said it. We had known it, two or three handkerchiefs, had the wife hide it under their pillow. They didn't have any headaches anymore. Didn't know why until their wives told them. Holy Spirit heals. Many gifts of healings, plural, shadows. Peter's walking around. They're just trying to get in his shadow. Catherine Kuhlman, the old healing evangelist, they said people riding in buses, because they'd take people in busloads to these crusades, they'd get healed on the buses riding to the service. Because it wasn't Catherine Kuhlman anyway, it was the Holy Spirit. Some of them would get to the service and they couldn't get in, and guess what? They got healed standing on the sidewalk, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And he's here to heal this morning. Some of you have been walking around with chains and he wants to set you free. Some of you feel wounded and rejected. The Holy Spirit is here to make you whole. Some of you are walking around sick and you don't have to be sick any longer. The Holy Spirit is here to heal this morning, because the disciples, everywhere they went, they operated in the gift of healing. You know why? Because everywhere Jesus is, there will be healing. Because that's what he did. Read the New Testament. And I pulled out about six scriptures on that. But do all y'all believe Jesus healed everywhere he went in different ways? He did the mud ball thing, not everywhere, but in one place. He pulled them up in one place. He asked, told them to stand up in another place. All different ways. Same God. Here's your takeaway. You're going to ask the Lord to bring somebody in your path this week that you can pray for healing. And then you're going to do it. Look to your neighbor and say, you big scaredy cat. That's what happens. Come on, I'm having fun. That's exactly what happens to you. Oh, oh. You're going to hear my voice. It will. Let it be the Holy Spirit. How many of you know somebody that could use healing? Let me see your hands, really. Let's take the time to do it. Almost all of us. Well, God wants to use you. I don't know all these folks. Let's wrap this thing up in a few more minutes. Some of you have heard what I'm getting ready to tell you 100 times. But I feel like I'm supposed to share it. And I fought it for a week and a half. So if you're going to hang around me, I plan on, you know, I'm going to be around a while longer. You're probably going to hear it 100 more times. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Listen, I'm standing here today on this platform as your brother in Christ and your friend because I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It was tangible. It was powerful. I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit who revealed Jesus and the Father. And I walked out of that little church building about a third the size of this sanctuary, changed forever. It's not that simple, Pastor. Yes, it was. And yes, it is. Now, I've learned a lot in that last, I've got to count it up. It's rough when you have to start counting 38 years, 6 years, 8, 7. I have to look. I got it written down. And I'm standing here today with this lady. Hi, Houston's here. But I'm standing here arm in arm with this lady's on this date 36 years ago. We were married. And I'm standing here today because of God. December 30th. Some of y'all want to get married. I'm not going to let you do it on this weekend. Sorry, don't do it during the holidays. Worst time in the world. Everything's more expensive, too. Restaurants are more expensive. Everything. And plus, it's my anniversary, so I'm not doing it. I had Pastor James move his wedding a nudge just because it hit my anniversary. Some of y'all know him. I tell you, you better move some things around your anniversary if you want to make it 36 years. But you know why we made it? That's Sunday morning in that little church 36 years ago. We encountered the tangible touch of the Holy Spirit. We didn't go looking for the Holy Spirit. We didn't go wanting the Holy Spirit. We've both been raised in church, but we've made it 36 years because he touched us that day and we stayed the course with him and each other. Because we, as some of y'all know, because you've heard the story, we were going to make it about 3 years. We dated 5. We almost didn't survive that. So we thought we'd get married and it'd be better, and it got worse. Because we had problems. So we're talking about divorce less than 3 years in. We knew where to go. We knew we needed to get back in church, but dear Lord, we didn't expect Jesus to be there. See, some of you came this morning, you just thought you was coming to church and God's in the house. Oh, my goodness. Are you ever in trouble for the good? Snuck in the back. I did want to save my marriage. I wasn't interested in getting my life right yet. But I figured if I got back in church, maybe something would happen. It would save our marriage. Because we'd got out of that little church about 2 years before, because every time we went, it's like the loving touch of Jesus hit us right between the eyes. Hello. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The fire was so hot and the truth was so hot and the love was so intense, we either had to get in or get out, so we got out. Some of y'all already are saying, I just got to get out of here. I just got to get out of here. I just got to get out. It's because you're experiencing the love and touch of the Holy Spirit right now. So we sat close to the back in that little church again. It about this size, but with about half the people of this section, about 30 people. And they stood and they took verbal prayer requests. And They take them verbally. They pray for them. And everybody sit down but Darla. Everybody sit down but Darla. Oh, my Lord. I'm thinking, everybody's sitting down but her. What's she standing up for? And I'm thinking, I start praying, Lord, have her sit down, please, Jesus. I mean, I did. Lord, have her sit down. Because, see, I just want to get in and get out. I just want to get in and get out. I want to keep my marriage together, but I didn't. And now I see a tear running down her eye, and I'm just going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And about that time, the pastor goes, young lady in the back, is there something you'd like to share with us? And that whole little church goes, and Darla's standing, I'm sitting there looking like some of y'all look today. I'm in there like, whew, it's tough, Ramsey. God had me right where he wanted me. I said, God had me right where he wanted me. Those loving hands, it felt like a death grip, but it wasn't. It was a love grip. She goes on to testify about how she had prayed, and she'd been in a lot of pain. She's been had a back injury. We had boats, water skied. She'd been to doctors. She'd been to chiropractors. The whole deal, couldn't ski anymore. And she just asked the Lord quietly while everybody's praying, said, God, I'm in so much pain, I can't stand any longer, but if you'd touch me, she said, I'd remain standing while everybody else is praying. Well, you know what the Holy Spirit did? Now, in her case, she felt tangible, like running hot honey going over. Sometimes you'll get healed, you won't feel a thing except you're healed. At other times, there may be manifestations on your body that's different. Like, anybody feel hot honey right now? I mean, come on. Well, if you don't like honey, I got some mud. No. Well, if you don't like mud, if you don't like mud, gifts of healings, hot honey. Well, that little church just patty caked away. I mean, they were Pentecostal. And I'm sitting there going, she's healed. I said, you're healed. She said, yes, she's healed. Preacher preached a message, don't remember the message. Just like y'all, 3 weeks from now, y'all don't remember anything I say. I know. It's true, Pastor Lawrence, I'm telling you. Preach your heart out. I don't expect it of you. In a month, I won't even remember what I preached. Living a lie. Woo! And I sure was. Well, you know what they do in Pentecostal churches? They have altar calls. We didn't do that in the Presbyterian church. Sitting in the back. In that building, the doors to leave the building were in the back. It was a normal building. To get out here, you got to go out through the front. Everybody's looking. So we're getting up to go to the altar. Some of y'all heard, get up. Darla's leading the way. We're not going to the altar. I'm running. The love of God, the touch on me is so strong. My heart's about to rip out of my chest. I'm nervous. I'm under conviction because I've been living a lie. My marriage is a wreck. I'm lost. I'm not with Christ. I'm living in all kinds of dirty, nasty sin. I got all kinds of problems. On the outside, I got a business. I'm making money. On the inside, I'm a wreck. I'm about to lose my wife. And I'm under the Holy Spirit's got a hold of me. And I'm going to run out that back door just as fast as I can run. Because sometimes when the power of God comes on you like that, you want to get out instead of get in. When Jesus' arms are open this morning, he wants you to jump in instead of jump out. And here I go. I'm out of there. The music's playing. I'm out of there. I'm following Darla. She turned left, which was to go to the front. And I went, where you going? And for 10 seconds, I watched her walk to the front. I looked at the back door. I watched her walk to the front. I looked at the back door. Kaboom, 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 kaboom. I went and sat down because I knew if I didn't, I'd lose her for sure. I mean, I'd be the first guy to ever lose his wife at the altar. So I get back, sit down, and I kneel, and I'm spying, and they're up there praying for her, and she's got a great story about that, and they're praying in tongues, and she didn't know too much about tongues. She's thinking, well, I'm pretty sure you're Filipino, and that's your language, but these other ladies, I don't know where those languages are coming from. Young lady, do you need prayer? No, well, I'm all right. Something left. She'll tell you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now get this. I'm in the back praying, spying out the land. I want to see what's going on. And I'm praying, Jesus, get me out of here. Jesus, get me out of here. Jesus, get me out of here. She's up there. She had a vision. She's a school teacher. Showed her a chalkboard. Showed her a wall first. She thought that's what's between me and Dale's, this big wall. But it was really what was between her and God. And in that vision, this is a little Methodist girl that's got supernaturally healed. Now she's having her first vision. It's a real vision, like a dream while you're conscious. And this big wall crumbles. And the Lord speaks to this little Methodist girl that didn't know anything really yet. And said, that's what's between you and me. And that's what's between you and Dale. The wall has to come down and I'll take down the wall. And the Lord began to speak to her and said, yeah, and if you'll surrender your life to me, the wall will come down. Showed her a blackboard. And it was being erased, and I will erase every wicked, dirty thing between you and me and you and Dale. She hasn't even recommitted her life to Jesus yet. I'm in the back praying to get out. I didn't know all this was happening until later. Y'all know that. Well, every now and then, this guy, only on the floor, he's up there praying, then he looked back at me, and I thought he's looking at me. Every time he'd look back, I'd go from here to here. They had pews. It's a true story. He looked one time, I went down and went, Jesus, he is not coming back here, is he? He did. He started walking, I ducked. He come around behind me, never said a word to me. He laid his hand on my shoulders. I broke like a ton of bricks. She's receiving the powerful touch of the Holy Spirit of Christ in the front. I'm receiving that powerful. It's like so much love. I was under so much conviction. My heart was about to bust because God wants to convict you of your sin. But the love of there was such a manifestation of power and love that I was under deep conviction. I was confessing. I was repenting. And yet I knew everything was going to be all right. So I'm weeping in the back. She's weeping in the front. We walk out. Last in the church, we're still the last out, usually have been ever since. Like this. Still tears. We're walking out, and Darla said, you know something happened in there, don't you, Dale? She said, we're different, aren't we? I said, yeah, we're different. She said, well, while I was in there, the Lord asked me that, said I had to surrender everything, and in order to do that, and she knew it would be risky, she said, there's some things I have to tell you because I have to get the slate clean. I said, get in the car. And she began to confess her sins. 5 or 10 minutes. She stopped. I said, well, some things I need to tell you too. And I began to confess my sins. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I didn't know the scripture said that. Holy Spirit knew. So in that day, we were healed. We were saved. We were delivered. There's a manifestation of physical healing. There's a manifestation of our soul healing. That's called salvation. There's a manifestation of deliverance from all kinds of sins. Our marriage was saved. Our marriage was saved that day. That day. All because of the power of healing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember 2 weeks we were coming home from church and Darla said, you know, I've had a hard time getting some of those things off my mind. I said, well, you know, I have too, honey. I said, but you know what? God has made us brand new. And we're never going back. And we never did. Worship team, come.